in the matter of Blackwater Relics, LLC, 1738-2024 term.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
May it please the Court, Roscoe Leslie for County Commissioners of Worcester County. From the county's point of view, this case is not very complicated. We had an LLC, Blackwater Relics, that purchased the property in the A1 Ag Zone. This property, if you drove a mile from my office in Snow Hill down to the property, you look around, there's fields all over the place. Nobody would be shocked that they were in.
Counsel, let me at the outset.
Yep.
We, of course, defer to the expertise of the agency from which this whole judicial review process emanated. Are we looking today, and we look through the circuit court, we know that, are we looking today at the action of the county commissioners, which I'm assuming sits as a also as a Board of Zoning Appeals, is that accurate?
This is a rezoning map amendment, so it's sitting as the county commissioner's legislative body. This is a legislative act, the zoning map.
Or are we to look at the recommendations of the Planning Commission as the action that we consider?
Under the code, the Planning Commission's recommendation is just that. It's a recommendation. It comes to the county commissioners, and we have a whole new hearing where they put on witnesses. We have a court reporter transcribing the proceedings. It's a quasi-judicial proceeding.
Right. So it's that. It's that commissioner's denial of the rezoning request 4-3 that you say we're reviewing.
Correct.
Not the considered judgment of the Planning Commission that recommended a change to the zoning based
Correct.
On the mistake.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. So Blackwater purchases the ag property. They decide they want to have a retail operation in the parcel. They apply for a rezoning. They come to the commissioners. And basically, they argue that the crux of their argument is that, commissioners, this is for decades been used as a commercial property. We have witnesses saying years and years ago this was used to make T-shirts or do this or that, all this commercial use. So, therefore, it must have been a mistake back in 1992, commissioners, when they made this ag. That must have been a mistake, because if only they had known that it was commercial, they would have zoned it commercial. The county commissioners, when hearing this testimony, says, well, it sounds like if everybody knew that this was commercial, it wasn't a secret, it wasn't hidden, there was no mistake, there was no bad information that went into the 1992 decision. The county commissioners of 1992 knew that it was commercial because it was common knowledge. They actively decided to make it agricultural. Basically, from the county's perspective, the applicant is asking for a permanent non-conforming use. So they're saying it was used commercial, so it can...
I don't agree. The way I read it is they're saying it's a mistake. It's always been a mistake. They presented testimony from Mr. Wilkins and otherwise that it was a mistake, and that's the issue that's before us, right? Legally,
yes.
They're not asking for a non-conforming use. They're saying it was a mistake. Okay. It was a mistake then, and they presented testimony, lay and expert otherwise, that it was a mistake. That's the legal issue before us. Correct.
Correct.
Thank you.
So the commissioners decided that the testimony was actually in their minds. Indication that it was not a mistake.
4-3.
Correct.
Was there any deliberation?
There was discussion and questioning at the meeting, Your Honor. And then they made a ruling, or they have a tentative vote. We bring together findings of fact for them to approve at the next meeting. And that's the procedure
right.
for...
They made the decision before the findings of fact were approved, as I read the record.
They have a preliminary vote that... They believe that the rezoning was not did not carry their burden of proof at the hearing, and then again we have to prepare the findings of fact, bring them back for them to review and have another vote on them.
What, in your view, is the effect of the inclusion of an additional parcel, which was not originally sought to be included in the petition for rezoning?
The effect on?
The whole process.
I think the
Commission was speaking to one parcel, and there was an adjacent parcel that wound up being included in the process without, as I read it, without having been requested for rezoning.
Well, I don't think there was any objection to that being included in the recommendation. I don't think council
had... How did it get there? I guess that's my question.
I believe that the concept was that having the two parcels would potentially allow them to be merged and have more uses.
So the Planning Commission
was doing a favor, I think, for the applicant.
Was that part of it before the Planning Commission, or did that just work its way in between the action of the recommendation of the Planning Commission and consideration by the County Commission?
I believe the Planning Commission recommended that both the parcels be included.
I have a question. So your position is, in 1992, everybody knew this parcel was being used commercially. Is that
correct?
Right?
Yeah.
So then I think the appellee's response to that is, well, that had to be a mistake because when you put it in an A1 district, it doesn't meet the minimum requirements for A1 uses.
Sure. Well, you're always going to have non-conforming uses when you've zoned property. There's always going to be non-conforming uses. That's why we have non-conforming uses. The idea is that use will eventually wither and die. I think there's cases out there that says that you are planning forward. We're not ossifying the use forever when we're doing zoning. We're planning for the future. So we're saying we want this area to be ag, to stay ag. Therefore, we are zoning it all ag. You can have your commercial use as a non-conforming use. When you stop using it commercially, it goes to ag. That's standard zoning. You're planning for the future. You're not ossifying the zone for all time. Otherwise, we would never be able to plan. Something would permanently become whatever use it had been. That's not zoning. Then we could never create new zones.
Right, and as I understand your argument, a mistake, mistake of fact, not a mistake or error in judgment in terms of the zoning initially, right?
Sure. It's a again, bad information has to go into the decision-making process.
Gotcha.
The way I read it, they're saying that there was a mistake of judgment. That it would have been better for this to be commercial. That's not the decision.
Right. Your point is it has to be a mistake.
And they have to prove what the bad information is. There's no evidence about what the 1992 commissioners considered. They have to be proving that. They have to say that there was a report that had a mistake in it. There was something that the county commissioners in 1992 didn't know, didn't consider. That's their burden.
And that's right, and I agree that would be one way, but would it exclude the way that was done here, where you had testimony from people saying it wasn't suitable for that purpose? Would that be a cognizable way? I don't know. It's a question.
The way I read the case is that the burden is on them to prove what was considered in 1992. And again, the finding of a mistake or not just opens the door for the county commissioners to be allowed to rezone. Then it's up to them to decide whether to rezone. And if you read the findings of fact, the county commissioners said, we think this is an ag district. We're not going to change it, even if there was a mistake. We think it's ag. We think it's appropriate. So, again, the mistake or not is just opening the door to whether the commissioners at that point are allowed to make the rezoning. Normally, this situation hardly ever exists. It's normally the other way around, where the neighbor is appealing a rezoning and saying it wasn't justified. This is just us standing by, the county commissioners standing by their code. We're not going to make a change. We're good with it. If you want to make a change, we're doing our comprehensive plan right now. You can plead to the county commissioners at that point that you want to rezone this area.
Do they have to make findings? I mean, I know I saw that argument in their brief. Does the county commissioners, after deliberations, how does that work under the Worcester County
code? Sure. The code, I think, is a little muddled. It comes from state law. This is all, those findings are state law driven. That's right. All stuff that's out of the state code. There is a case that I found recently, Chesapeake Ranch Club v. Fulcher, 48 MD App 223. In that case, if you're denying the rezoning, the specific findings of fact don't have to be made. If you're denying, because they're not relevant. Those are just the tick-tock things that you have to hit to prove that a rezoning is appropriate, that for when there's an appeal, that you have all the specific findings of fact.
Give us that site again, please.
Sure. 48 MD App 223.
And the name?
A Chesapeake Ranch Club versus
Fulcher,
F-U-L-C-H-E-R. Under the case law, if you do find a mistake, you're allowed to rezone it, but you only have to if there's a taking. And there's been there's dancing around this taking issue, but they say all reasonable use is not allowed. I think it's one of the terms that the appellant uses, but they don't. So its assessed value, I think you have the SDAT readouts there. The assessed value is not zero. You can use it for ag. You can tear the building down and have crops there. Okay. There's also a special exception that's at E-154 of the record, and it's ZS-1-201-C-17, a special exception. Read the whole thing, probably be better. Conversion of existing, vacant, or inactive structures previously utilized for commercial, industrial, or agricultural processing purposes into uses consistent with the intent of the A1 district and its permitted principal uses and with the general character of the surrounding area. Minimum lot requirements shall be as determined and approved by the Board of Zoning Appeals. Okay, so they can apply for a special exception to get all those lot requirements eased up to reuse a vacant commercial building for an ag purpose. So there are plenty of uses for this property.
So your point is they could store crops in the building.
That's what it looks like it was for. Backing up a truck. I grew up on a farm. We kept seed corn in a barn, very similar to that. That's what it looks like if you look at it from Google Street Views.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Cropper.
Good morning. Hugh Cropper for Blackwater Relics. May it please the court. I have lots of cases with Mr. Leslie holding him in high regard, but he's just completely wrong. That code section is, from the previous cases, not in the record extract. It was never argued. I'm not even familiar with it.
Whoa. The one he just read?
Yes, sir.
It is in the record extract. I'm looking at it. It's at 154. It's subparagraph 23. Because I was going to ask you to comment on it because I hadn't focused on it.
Oh, conversion of a...
Yeah. I hadn't focused on it until he raised it. Would that... I mean, I know you saw the mistake, but he's arguing, as I understand it, that there are other means to address it. In this respect, in a special exception through subsection.
Judge Berger, this wouldn't apply because the use it has been abandoned for 20 years. This is an active use. So I have seen it, and I decided that it didn't apply.
Okay, fair enough.
The county's argument. I don't want to say this, Mr. Leslie. The county's argument that you could tear it down and plant crops, an 11,000 square foot concrete building, the whole lot is asphalt and plant crops on 0.78 acres. That's the sort of political motivation of this case, which I don't understand. You know, the Planning Commission gives a favorable unanimous recommendation. They said, let's do the acre next door on their recommendation, not ours. It goes to the county commissioners. I asked John Shockley to look at the tape. You don't have the tape available to you, but... I honestly think it was a 4-3 vote in favor.
Really? I didn't see that.
Well, if you look at the transcript, on E-144, there's a vote. And then the president says, Karen, I didn't hear you. Are you against?
Right. She said yes.
And she says yes. We were kind of shaking hands and moving on that we had won the case.
Wow. Okay.
If I were you, I would direct to me, what is the mistake of fact and why?
Before we go there, why doesn't subsection 23 apply? Says conversion of existing vacant or inactive structures previously utilized for commercial, industrial, agricultural processing. Why doesn't that apply?
Conversion of existing.
So E-154 is pointed out by Judge Berger. You said it doesn't apply. I'm just trying to figure out why it doesn't apply.
I stand to be corrected.
Yeah,
maybe
it would.
Looks
like it applies.
Yeah. Maybe it would.
Okay.
Maybe it would. Out of, I say this respectfully, though, out of 52 special exceptions,
right.
that would be the only one that would meet the minimum lot requirements.
You only need one, right?
Excuse me? On an A1. And I also need to check. I'm not sure it's in the current code. That's the 1992 code.
Oh, okay. Right.
I have the current code, and I don't see it. Okay. Okay, well.
Either way, you pursued this by mistake.
Yes, sir,
you argued that the Planning Commission gave a unanimous considered recommendation that the commission.
And an expert testimony, lay test. But even more important than that, Mr. Leslie says in his brief, it's commercial. Everybody knew it was commercial. It was widely known. Judge Shockley, in his opinion, on E-170, mm-hmm. and I argue before Judge Shockley, and if we look in the record on E-24, the county just ignores this point. It says PHW, which is Phyllis H. Wimbo, which is a Planning Commission member,
right.
E-24, Kelly S. did maps, followed typical ag storage uses, so it was downsized. That is a mistake. Ms. Wimbro, who was an employee of the county in March 10, 1992, she's the one that drafted the maps and helped draft the maps with Kelly Shanahan, followed typical ag storage uses, so it was downzoned. That was a mistake. And Boyce versus Assembly, a case that we've all looked at, says one of the ways you can prove a mistake is go back and look at the people who prepared the plan and see what they have to say. So there is a mistake of fact. Right there. You got to remember, back in March 10th in 1992, the county had no website, it had no GIS, it had no minutes of meetings. We've looked, the county has looked, we've not been able to produce any meeting where this was discussed. Mr. Leslie says, well, the commissioner said X, Y, and Z. Well, the commissioners didn't say anything. We know that. Mr. Leslie wrote an opinion and submitted it to him. You know, the commissioner's counterargument. When you look at the Beechwood case, I think that's interesting because that's the most often cited cases by both parties, People's Council of Baltimore County versus Beechwood. In Beechwood, Baltimore County did a comp zoning every 4 years, and in that case, the mistake was 4.5 months later, and they went back and they had minutes of meetings. They knew exactly what happened. This one is 33 years later. My property of the land use article says the county is supposed to update their zoning maps every 10 years. This property has not been reviewed for 33 years back, and there's no records available. So that strong presumption of validity, the wisdom of the county commissioners, we don't know what the wisdom was of the county commissioners back in 1992. Maybe their brother-in-law owned the property, they didn't like it, and they downzoned it on purpose. I submit to you that it just, at the time, it was a very basic process compared to what we have now with no GIS. And there's no evidence at all. The only shred of evidence in this case, one way or the other, the only shred about what happened in 1992 is that note in the planning staff's file, in his client's file, that says they believed it was ag storage, which clearly contradicts what the findings say, what Mr. Leslie says in his brief. Again, the notion that the commissioner somehow intended to let this use die on the vine back in 1992 is just a complete speculation.
On E-93, though, you said the only evidence is that what you just referred to, but your own petition at E-93 says Historically, the structure is thought to have been built as a potato storage building. Now, that sounds to me like from Western Maryland that you grow the potatoes and then you put them over
in storage. At one part, it was a wholesale potato storage. That's different from an ag storage building. We have a place where you store and sell potatoes, and then they later stored and sold tomatoes, trucks. There were the four. There's the four. There are four garage doors where big trucks back up and they're loaded in. Accessory ag storage is what Mrs. Wimbrough was referring to. When you have a farm, which is over 5 acres by definition, and you put your combines, your tractors, that's what an ag building is.
It's not where you pick your peaches and apples and you back your trucks in there.
As the testimony went on, and you can read Chris McCabe's testimony, it clarified that this was more of a wholesale potato. So these potatoes could have come from the eastern shore of Virginia, been stored here. The sheriff called it a baby, Langford Cisco, which is a big wholesale food outfit in Pocomoke. So these potatoes were not grown. And I'll suggest to Judge Beachley, as somebody who was born and raised there, they don't grow potatoes there. So
they don't grow potatoes down
at
Snow
Hill. Yeah, yes, okay. Sir. There don't, no potato. Down at Cape Charles they do, but there's no potatoes in that area.
The four of you understand this far better than me who lives in Baltimore City, who's ignorant of interested in the issues that you're presenting. Very much so.
Yeah, I doubt that may have pleased the court. And look, I was there. I'm so old. I was there in 1992 for every public hearing. I was there for the vote. And believe me, if there had been any discussion, I would have found out about it. When you read Jen Keener, that was the planning director. When you read her proffer, and look, I've been corrected as to one thing, that there is one special exception that would apply. When you read Ms. Keener's proffer, that in the A1 district, I'm reading right from the Mr. Leslie's brief on page 9, we have commercial grain dryers, feed mills, grain fertilizer, minimum lot size, 5 acres, and I'm on the bottom of page 9. Wholesale, local grown vegetable crops, storage. Again, that's what the potato was, 5 acres. Livestock sales, 10 acres. Repair seafood harvesting, 40,000 square feet. More seafood, 40,000 square feet. Garden centers, 5 acres. Sawmills, 5 acres. I've not even looked at the lot widths and the buffers. The notion you put a sawmill there is ridiculous. That's as ridiculous as saying you're going to tear it up and farm it. Agritourism. Wasn't even part of the code in 1992. It's now 10 acres. Firehouses, 40,000 square feet. Government offices, 4,000 square feet. She even has the courage to say surface mining and then not really surface mining. Commercial riding and boarding stables, 5 acres. Churches, temples, and mosques, 2 acres. That statement is 100% inaccurate. In Worcester County, we do not have variances to lot area, only setbacks. That property will not accommodate any of those, 100%, and it can't be varied. That statement is also right in the findings of fact. It said one of the uses you could do, E13. Ms. Keener read the uses, many of which include retail components such as a roadside stand and garden center. Again, then the minimum lot requirement was 5 acres. Now the minimum lot requirement is 3 acres. You just, the findings of fact are just erroneous. That's just an erroneous statement in the findings of fact. I believe that I probably should have argued taking, but I didn't. I didn't want to hitch my wagon onto that argument because I know that's a very, very tough, very uphill, tough standard, but boy, it's really close when you have 9 permitted uses and 50 special exceptions, and maybe one will apply if you go to the Board of Zoning Appeals and convince them. They did ignore the Planning Commission's 5-page findings of fact. They just said we reject them, just perfunctory. They did ignore the expert testimony, one of whom was somebody that had worked in Worcester County for 30 years. I feel like the commissioners were unburdened by the facts and the code. Again, maybe not appropriate, but I have to say something politically was going on here. That day, the meeting starts. You can see the meeting started an hour late. They were in some closed session for 2 or 3 hours, and they come out. And for the chair or the president of the county commissioners to look over and say, Karen, did you really vote that way, is pretty remarkable. And the notion, and again, I'm not criticizing Mr. Leslie, that the commissioners would even send their attorney here to suggest that you could tear this up and plant crops on 0.7 acres really demonstrates the ridiculousness of some of this. In 2006, the commissioners did vote unanimously. So when this was annexed by the town of Snow Hill in 2006, it came in as residential. They did vote unanimously to approve that zoning at the time, and that's undisputed. It came in as part of a large PUD, planned unit development, which in Worcester County includes up to 20% commercial. So it certainly, that PUD had a commercial component. Now, look, I think there's overwhelming evidence of a mistake. Mr. Leslie will say, well, once we've proved a mistake, the county commissioners can still do whatever they want. Again, they're unburdened by the facts and the law. They can do, with impunity, they can do whatever they want. Beechwood uses the exact words that says the commissioners can't act with impunity and do whatever they want. Our code specifically says, and if you look at our Worcester County Code, which is an appendix to my brief, they decide if there's a mistake, and if there is a mistake, they decide whether it's more desirable in terms of the goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan. So we do know for a fact they do have a standard, right, in their own code, isn't more desirable in terms of the goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan. The commissioners never mentioned the word comprehensive plan, right? They in all their deliberations, that word's never even mentioned. It's just rejected in the findings of fact, and Mr. Leslie's position is they can do whatever they want.
Is that the point you're referring to, E14, the last paragraph yep. of the decision, where they say, well, even if we agree with the Planning Commission and the applicant, the appropriate zoning for the petitioned area is A1 agricultural district?
Yeah.
That was the argument. So, but your argument is, no, there's some standards that they have to apply. You can't, and I must admit, it's kind of circuitous because they go back and talk about mistake of fact within that same paragraph. So it seems to be, okay, here we come. We're coming back. You're saying there are other standards. They do have discretion, but they have to sure. exercise that discretion.
No question. I mean, whenever the commissioners, when their main argument is the presumptive validity of existing zoning, that happened the wisdom of the county commissioners happened 33 years ago. We don't know what their wisdom was. If you look on page 28 on my brief, which is part of the appendix, it says whether there's a mistake and that a change in zoning would be more desirable in terms of the objectives of the comprehensive plan. Then it goes on to say they can adopt the Planning Commission's. So the Planning Commission found it to be consistent with the comprehensive plan, undisputed. They're the experts. It is undisputed that it's a growth area in the comprehensive plan. It's undisputed that the growth area is the top tier in the comprehensive plan. That growth areas are areas designated for future growth in the county. That this is the largest growth area in the county, and this is in the middle of it. It is uncontroverted that it's S1, W1 in the Worcester County Water and Sewer Plan, again, the highest tier of the Water and Sewer Plan, that it is a plan for immediate service of water and sewer. Someone can make a mistake, that was a mistake, but that's what the county's plan says, and that is undisputed. And then you put in the testimony of the land planners on top of that that talk about the hundreds of acres of residential zoning across the street. There's overwhelming evidence that it's consistent with the comp plan, never mentioned by the commissioners, other than they reject it and they find that ag is better. All that is undisputed. A great job on the brief. The problem with the commissioner's argument is the commissioners never said any of that. And the findings of fact are wrong. So in conclusion, I would ask that you grant my cross appeal and reverse the decision, look through the circuit court, reverse the decision of the county commissioners, and establish the C2 zoning, which is what should be established and recommended by the Planning Commission. Alternatively, you uphold Judge Shockley's well-reasoned opinion that there's a logical gap between what happened at this hearing and what got written up in the in the factual findings. It's really not your job to correct wrongs, but hopefully it is. And we got this political mess about whether it was 3-4 or 4-3. Alternatively, send it back and let's address the issues that the code tells them they need to address. And I thank you for your kind consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Leslie, you get the last word here.
Yeah, the written findings of fact were signed by four commissioners the week after, so I don't think that's in dispute. The code is still current. The code that I say to, although it was the old code, it's still current. It's online. I think Mr. Crapper said it a couple times that there was no evidence of what the commissioners of 1992 were doing. There was no evidence of that, which again goes back to they have the burden of proof to prove that bad information went into the decision-making process. And by their own argument, we don't have any evidence of what went into their decision-making process. Therefore, we should defer to what it is right now. He also admitted he didn't argue a taking. So, again, that issue I don't know if it's in play. And, again, I've shown you codes where there are uses for the property, however unequitable they may appear. There is no right to a rezoning in Maryland. Again, the finding of a mistake just opens the door, allows the county commissioners to make the change. They said there was no mistake. It sounds like it's a fairly debatable question, and if it's fairly debatable, then you can uphold their decision. So we don't have to get to the taking issue. And again, there are uses of the property even if we get there.
What about the alternative holding, that very last paragraph? I think you addressed it originally and said, well, the county says, well, even if you find a mistake, even if we agree with the Planning Commission and the applicant, it still wouldn't be rezoned.
Sure.
But Mr. Cropper says there are standards for that, and they don't really articulate that. They just go back and say, oh, we don't find a mistake of fact.
Well, again, I think the standards are if there's a mistake, then you maybe have to follow the comprehensive plan. But I think the point of the commissioners were pointing to the agricultural nature of the area. Like I told you before, if you went there and walked or looked around, you wouldn't be surprised that it's zoned Ag 1. It's all one big block of Ag 1 down there. So I think they were trying to put some meat on the bones that, hey, even if we were to consider this a mistake, we still think it's Ag because we want to preserve that nature of this area. It's ag right now.
All right, thank you. This matter, in the matter of Blackwater Relics, LLC, 1738, 2024 term submitted. That concludes.